that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. No two ways about it. I have a message today that God has laid on my heart. I'm just so anxious to pass it on to you. Oh, I just had so much. I learned so much while I was doing this message. I find my Bible study is really coming along fine, and I'm drawn closer to God than I ever imagined. Oh, I feel the working of the Holy Spirit in my heart. And I'm just so blessed. I'm just so blessed. The title of my message today is a little bit unusual. I hope you will understand. I hope you will receive it, as I have. It's called The Culminator. The Culminator. Now, oh, that sounds like a... No, it's not the Terminator, although it could be, but it's the Culminator. It's a time when everything that we do as Christians upon this earth culminates at that point when we meet God, when we meet our blessed Savior, when it's all over, it's culminated. He is the culminator. And of course, if you're not saved, your culmination will be a lot different than those who are saved. So, please stay with me. I got a question for you to start on. Are you ready? Okay. Now, you're walking along the street. You see a guy on the corner. He's holding up a gigantic sign. You know, one of those cardboard signs in front of him. And on the sign are the words, "Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again." Now, if you're a Christian, you have to see this, well, you fully understand what's going on here. He's witnessing to passers-by. And you know what the sign means. However, big however here, you say you just, you live out in the woods somewhere, way out of town, and you don't come into town very much. And you just happen to park your buckboard outside the city limits, and you blew into town, all right? Now, you know the first thing about being, you don't know the first thing about being born again. You've never heard it, all right? Or if you did hear it, you just went in one ear and out the other. I mean, you see this sign for the first time. You've never seen it because you hardly ever come to town. And the sign says, of course, you must be born again. Now, here's a question. What would be the first thing that crossed your mind if you were this old boy who just blew into town from out of nowhere? Well, the first thing that would cross your mind would be something like, what the dickens is that poor man doing holding a sign like that? Folks, better get him to a hospital. He needs medical attention. Oh, real bad. That's probably what you'd think. I know I probably would be thinking that if I didn't know the difference. Now, I fully realize that such a sign is somewhat universal, okay, in what it means. Whether people believe it or not is something else. That's their business. But put yourself in that hillbilly's place. That old boy who just blew into town, put yourself in his place. And you see the sign that says, "Ye must be born again." What are you going to think? Oh, I ain't going near him, that's for sure. You can't do that. You can't do that. That's impossible. That's likely what that person would be thinking. Now, I know when I was a kid, and I knew nothing about, you know, salvation, anything like that, or, you know, anything about the Bible, and I didn't know a thing. I just, you know, I saw this guy standing on the sidewalk with a sign similar to this, not exactly, but similar, and I got kind of nervous when I ran across the other side of the street, and I told my pa, and he said, Oh, don't pay any mind to them. You'll see them here and there all over the place. They're nothing but holy rollers. Just ignore them, okay? Oh, well, I wasn't quite satisfied, so I asked my brother. I said, hey, Jimbo, hey, what's a holy roller anyway? I never knew what a holy roller was. He said, don't ask stupid questions, okay? What do you want me to tell you? I don't know. I just want to know what a holy roller is. He said, look, just don't pay no mind, all right? All right, a holy roller is, I think what they call them, a religious gambler. That's what they are. A holy roller is a religious gambler, yeah. I told him I'd seen one today. Well, just ignore them, he said. They're harmless. They won't do anything. Wow. So I had it all separated from my mind. These guys that stand there with these signs are nothing but holy rollers. Gamblers. They like to roll the dice. Oh, anyway. Now, tell me, people. Do you all see the problem with a sign with just those words on it? Or is there a problem? Well, to us who live inside the city limit, so to speak, who know a little bit about what church goings on are about, we might understand what that means and pay no mind still the same. But if you're just one of these guys that come in from out of nowhere, no man's land, you wouldn't understand. You see? Do you see the problem? Do you? Well, there really is a problem. The sign's okay as far as it goes, but there's something missing. Two very important words. You know what they are? From above. From above. He must be born again. From above. Makes a difference, doesn't it? Simplifies it. Explains it. Of course it does. Now, the reason so many people are confused when they see a sign like this or hear someone say he must be born again is no mystery. Consider the example I just gave. You just wandered in from Hogback, USA, and someone got in your face with a sign reading you had to be born again. And to you, that meant going back in the womb and doing it all over again. It was done wrong the first time. No, that's not what it's like. It's not what it means, but it can happen. It can happen. You're bound to think the sign bearers are a wee bit short of change, if you get what I mean. On the other hand, if you're witnessing to someone with an open Bible right to their face, and you turn to John 3:16, then it's a whole different thing. You show him the words as you go along. Well, look, here's what the Bible says. He must be born again. It's a lot different, isn't it? Now, if we turn to John 3, now, there's a man called Nicodemus. Now, many of you may have heard of him. I imagine most of you have. But, you see, when it comes to being born again, we have some good examples in the Bible. And what we're going to culminate with is how it's done, how being born again is achieved. That's going to come near the end, all right? But, okay, now, if we look in John 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Wow. You get that now? This is a man of the Pharisees. He's a Pharisee, and he's a ruler of the Jews. Now, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know not. Thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with them. We know not thou art a teacher come from God. You see, being a Pharisee, well, naturally he wouldn't believe that who Jesus really is, that he's from God. He says, we know not. And Jesus answered and said unto him, got right to the point, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, that's plain enough. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can you just picture Nicodemus in the dark there, hoping nobody sees him talking to Jesus? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Ooh, that's a heavy question, isn't it? Now, Jesus, of course, knew he was going to say that, and he was prepared. So Jesus answered in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Well, there you go. Nicodemus, Pharisee among Pharisees, he wanted to know how to get saved. You think Nicodemus got saved? I think it was heavy on his heart. I really do. Oh, the purpose of the phrase, ye must be born again, is to show the people the true meaning of God's supernatural power and the reason for the cross. It's extremely important to understand the spirituality of being born again from above and not from the womb. Nicodemus. All right. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. A Pharisee. Got the message, though. He got it loud and clear from who else? Jesus himself. Oh, I tell you. Knowing what I know now, if I could stand face to face with Jesus, I'd melt. Nicodemus was like many of us today. He had a great spiritual void. Do you know what a spiritual void is? It's a gap where there's nothing in it. That's of God. That's a spiritual void. And it needed to be filled. This is why he came to Jesus by night. He had to know the answers. He had to know. Are you curious? Do you know people are curious to know the truth? Tell them. Give them the gospel. The church, any church, can pass out flyers and John and Romans until the proverbial cows come home. But the fate of the recipient is mostly in the hands of the presenter. You know what I mean? If you can talk to them about what you're giving them. But most of the time, you can only put it on their doorstep or in their mailbox. You never hear back from most of them. But praise God for those you do hear back from. A lot of people will just scoff at John and Romans. That's all we are asked to do by God, is to tell the people. We're not going to grab them by the neck and tell them, hey, you do it or else I'm going to give you you know what? You come up and... No, we simply tell them, give them the word of God unto salvation. What they do is up to them. You see, God's watching. God knows. He knows what we're doing. Well done, my faithful servant. Hey. You know, the receiver has to have a personal desire in their heart to come to Jesus, just like Nicodemus did. You know, will we see Nicodemus in heaven? Huh? Or maybe I should put it this way. Will Nicodemus see us in heaven? You know, then we come to... And this is the second example I'm using. And I say this fondly when I mention the name. Sycamore Sack. Any idea who I'm talking about? Zacchaeus, the wee little man who had to climb up in a sycamore tree. Now, if we go to Luke chapter 19, we'll get a few clues about who Zacchaeus was. We know he was a wee little man. Now, chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. Wow, he was high up. And he was rich. Hey, big shot, huh? He was rich. And he sought to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, who was to pass and could not for the press because he was little of stature. You know, he's just a wee little man. And if he went in with the crowds in order to see Jesus coming by, then he would jumping up and down, trying to see over people's heads and around. So he climbed up in a sycamore tree. That's how badly he wanted to see him. Now, Jesus knew, he knew in advance that Zacchaeus would be up that tree. Because God knows everything. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree, the Zacchaeus, to see Christ, to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. What did he say? Boo? No, he didn't. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And I love this part. For today I must abide at thy house. Wow! Oh, and I loved to have been at Zacchaeus there. And he made haste. He didn't hesitate. He made haste. And he came down and he received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. That's what the public was saying. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore to him. I restore to him everything fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to thy house, or come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Wow. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, man. Zacchaeus. Wow. Nicodemus. Wow. Two important people, high up in the ranks, both wanted to get close to Jesus and know him, to know him personally. Wow, that's so exciting. That's just so exciting. You know, was Zacchaeus, do you think, just curious? Or did he follow through? Was he searching? Well, I'd say he was searching. I mean, he would not have come down from the tree. He would not have taken Jesus to his house. Jesus said, I must abide in your house. Would Zacchaeus take Jesus to his house if he wasn't certain? I don't think so. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Did Zacchaeus understand what being born again really means? Not at the time. And when Jesus said in verse 9, this day has salvation come to this house, was he not referring to his entire family? Of course. He wouldn't be referring to the woodwork. His family. salvation has come when he entered into his house. That's probably the first thing he said when he walked in. He probably blessed him and said, this day has salvation come to this house. Wow! There's, okay, we have Nicodemus. We have Zacchaeus. I have one more. The Philippian jailer. The Philippian jailer. Wow, just like the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. When Paul and Silas were set free from the shackles following an earthquake in the prison. The worried jailer, he got right frantic. He was about to kill himself. When Paul cried out in verse 28, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Wow. Then in verse 30, the jailer proclaimed to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Did the Philippian jailer want to be saved? You know why he'd want to be saved? You think just because of the earthquake and that he might be killed for letting the prisoners out? Or because they escaped? He was going to run himself through with his own sword? No, he come under conviction because he heard them singing unto the Lord from their dungeons. Do you imagine? Paul and Silas down in the dungeons singing praises unto the Lord throughout the night. Glorifying God. Placing their faith, trust in God. The jailer was already under conviction after all that he'd just been through. And after hearing their singing and unceasing prayers. So, what does he say to Paul? I'll repeat it. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? To be born again from above, he's asking. Now, verse 31 sums it all up. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, maybe Paul and Silas said it together. I don't know. But it would sound nice, wouldn't it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Were they referring to the house itself here? No, of course not. No, his family is same as it was with Zacchaeus. His family. They also would believe and be born again from above. You know, the natural man must be born again to have spiritual life. It's that simple. And thereafter, he will obtain eternal life. Now comes the easy, plausible part. Why? Why can't mankind just look up at the sky, and God forgive me for putting it this way, I mean no disrespect. Why can't the normal guy just look up at the sky and say, okay, God, count me in, I believe. Oh, come on, will you? Give me a break. I'll tell you why. First of all, doing such a thing is not only degrading, it's also blasphemous to the cross of Christ. Who do you think you're talking to? Show a little respect, huh? You're not believing the gospel. You're not repenting. You're making folly of it. Folly of God. Do it right or miss the flight. Did you hear that? I just threw that in there. Sounds kind of neat, doesn't it? Do it right or miss the flight. Kind of like that. Anyway, now the way to the cross is clearly marked out. And I put down 5 ways you can know you are saved. Okay? Simply follow these easy to understand instructions. Couldn't put it any other way, could I? Number 1, repent. Repent doesn't mean you will never sin again. You got to understand that. Repent, it means you are turning to Calvary and what Christ did to make you free. you believing. Faith, you turn from your wicked ways. You turn to the Lord. That's repenting. Number two, believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Number three, believe you are a sinner. Now, if you don't think you're a sinner, well, amen. You got a problem. A real problem. You see, you can't be saved from your sins if you ain't a sinner. And that's what Jesus came for, to save sinners. So if you don't think you're a sinner, there's no point of even talking to them because you can't be saved. You have nothing to be saved from. Huh? Oh, well, yes, you'll end up in the fire. You'll end up in the fire. Number four, believe there is a penalty for sin. You can look in Ezekiel 18, verse 20 for more information on that. Believe there is a penalty for sin. In other words, sin doesn't go unnoticed. Sin is a crime against God and against the cross of Christ. And number five, believe that Christ paid the penalty for all. All. Romans 5, 8 and John 3, 16. Now, how do you believe in these five basic steps? There's a way to believe in them all. You can't say, I have, I don't know how I'm going to believe all that. Well, there is a way to believe it in one word. It's called faith. Faith. You see, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. By faith, you are saved. By faith. You know, in the Bible, we read that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's how you believe. Through faith, you can't see. You have to believe in your heart that this is true. When I gave my life to Christ, I didn't see Christ like Nicodemus did or like Zacchaeus did. I didn't see him. But by faith, I believed him, what he did for me and what he'll do for you and how he set you free from the curse of sin. Now you are ready to enter in the narrow gate. Understanding and believing these 5 points will mean you are truly saved, born again, from above. Amen? Can we have an amen somewhere out there? New desires in your life, they'll come. You'll desire to do new things. They'll take hold. The Holy Spirit moves in and indwells you, gives you power, gives you strength, gives you direction, gives you joy, gives you peace. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Then you pray without ceasing. And I don't mean you pray every minute of every day. I mean you pray all the time. Always give time in prayer to God. Even though he knows your needs, he knows your circumstances, be sure you talk to him personally. Tell him how you love him. And ask him for direction every day, because you need new direction every day. Pray without ceasing. Study the word of God that you may grow. You may grow, you may remember. Old things will pass away. And behold, all things are become new. Bible says that. I pray with all my heart that what you've heard here today will find lodging in your heart. If you don't already believe it, and if you do, that you pass it on to somebody else. Ask them to listen to this message and they will understand. There's no way they can't understand. You know, in 1 John 5:18, I just want to touch on this before I close. We read 1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. You know, that doesn't, people look at that and say, well, I know I sin, I know I'm saved, but I still sin. No, but when you do sin, this is what it means. Your sins are covered by the blood of Christ, as long as you are a true Christian. That's what it means when it says sinneth not. You see, God doesn't reckon with your sins once you're under the blood. All he sees is the blood of his dear son. And 1 John 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, born from above, doth not commit sin. For his seed, that's God's, remaineth in him, that's you, and he, you, cannot sin, because he is born of God. You see, all your sins are under the blood. So even though, yes, you do sin, the flesh sins, your spirit is clean. Your spirit, actually the way that, I can't remember where it says it, but in actuality, spiritually speaking, you are already seated in the heavenlies. Later on, when the rapture comes, then your flesh will be changed also, so it can have no more burden of sin and be changed like Jesus' body, and then you'll be taken out. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, joy, joy, joy to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the utterance to deliver it. I pray, Lord, that people who hear it, Lord, they will understand and they'll have a desire, Lord, that if they're not sure about their salvation, to examine themselves, Lord, according to your word, and find out for sure if they really are saved. But to understand, Lord, and be able to disclose to others, especially the unsaved, Lord, what salvation is all about, for you are not willing that any should perish. I love you, Lord, because you first loved me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.